So, hang on. You know, I don't preach very long, and so my phone, I'm looking at my phone up here, and it's going off with all these, like, could you hook up people? I'm a youth pastor, and so I'm used to, you know, setting people up, you know, making America great again. And so I keep getting this text message here, and I wrote it down. It says, can you please set up Alex Lopez? So where are you at, Alex? He usually sits in the back. All right. Thank you, Joey Chavez, for that text message. Alex, are you game? You want to try to find somebody? Oh, no? Are you enjoy or happy together? Okay, that's fine. and then the other one I got, it says Johnny Gonzalez, but I figured that. Johnny, where you at? Good job singing. It says they want to set you up. Are you willing? No? You want to go for this? All right? Okay. Are you sure? All right. It says here, Sarah Bushy. No? Is she here? Oh, she was. Is she? No? We're 0 for 4. Okay. All right. We'll try this next time. How many of you are engaged in here? You're engaged. You're getting married? All right. Hey, that's awesome. That is great. You finally got engaged, Caleb. I'll give you a little attention. I know you're quite the attention seeker. That's good. All right. Didn't they do a good job with that song? Listen, I hate to spoil it for you guys, but if you're going to go to heaven, you better learn Spanish, man. Amen. We're going to have to teach you guys. I love this place. This college, many, many years ago, even before somebody knocked on my door up on the south side of Chicago on Cermak, D9, that's where I was reached. Long before anybody ever knocked on my door, my father worked at a metal plant in Bedford Park. And at that metal plant, there was a group of men from Howells Anderson, this is 1970s, that would meet at their break and they would pray. And they witnessed to my dad. My dad never got saved because of them, but one of the men gave my dad a Bible. And I remember years later looking through that where this man gave my father a Bible. My father got saved many years later, actually during teen soul winning. One of our teenagers witnessed to my dad, and my dad got saved. But I love this place. I would no more distance myself from this place. I love this place. And I love you guys, and I love what you do. And every week of my life, I see young people. It's been my privilege for almost 20 years. Young people walking through that building, and it's because of Hiles Anderson College. And it's because you decided to knock on the door, and you decided to stay out late, and you decided to send a kid to camp, and you decided to send a kid to youth conference, and God's good. I love this place. I hope you love this place. I hope you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you got to excuse me a little bit. I'm just one of those people. I got to feel Jesus. And so if my feet stomp a little bit, if I yell a little louder, if I scream a little louder, it's because I know where I could be. And man, because I know where I could be, I don't want to be there, man. Look, I'm Puerto Rican, all right? Chances are I ought to be in jail, okay? Drug dealing or dead, all right? You Mexicans, don't laugh at me. You'd be deported. I love Mexicans. I love in just a few weeks here, in two weeks, I'm going down to Guatemala for about 8 days, taking 10 City Baptist kids with me. I don't know if that's good. I don't know. I think what we're going to do is we're going to go kind of plan where we have our city when they deport us all. But I'm taking 10 CB kids with me, and God bless Guatemala when we get there. But we're going on. I conduct teen camps on the mission field is what I do. And so I go to Guatemala or Honduras, or I've been to Mexico or the Philippines, and I conduct these teen camps exactly the way we do them at First Baptist, with all the crazy games and with all the hitting and all the nonsense. We just had school camp. We had 5 kids taken to the hospital on one day. Truth. 5 kids went to the hospital on one day. That was a successful game, all right? And so anyhow, but I love this place, and I'm excited because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in my life. And so you say, he's a little loud. Yeah, you know, if somebody raptured you, or somebody captured you out of the pits of hell, and if somebody changed your life for eternity, I don't know what else to say, but amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, gloria a Dios, lo que sea, you know, God is good. Sometimes I see us sitting there, and we sing a song, he's more than a story, we just sit there like, but man, you'll sit down and watch a television show, and you'll watch your American Idol or your The Voice, and you'll get all excited. I want her to win. I want her to win. I want her. Oh, she's amazing. And people get up here and sing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Y'all need to lose yourselves a little bit, all right? Stop being so stuffy. Your pants are too tight, okay? You just need to get in the habit of praising the Lord. Anywhere, everywhere, just praise. Well, that's not even my message, but sometimes I know we got you beautiful ladies. You're so prissy. I mean, you can't laugh because your face will crack. But it's okay, sweetie. It's okay. And some of you guys, you know, you're so prim and proper and so on. It's okay to lose yourself. If you saw John the Baptist come and you would say, that guy needs to take a grooming class. That guy needs to go to Split Chapel and learn how to cut his hair and how to wear the right kind of clothes. If you heard the Apostle Peter, he'd be preaching 1 minute, the next minute he's cursing you out. That's my kind of preacher though. I like that. And hey, God chose some really unusual people in the Bible. And by the way, again, it was just because salvation does something to you. Are you still overwhelmed by your salvation? Because I am. I am still overwhelmed by it, man. If I could jump, I'd jump, but I can't jump, all right? And so take your Bibles this morning. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of, there's two. I always have two titles for messages. If I'm preaching in teen church, it has one title. And if I preach to normal people, it has another title. So if I was preaching this in teen church, I would call it, I got your six. I got your six. But as I'm preaching to normal people here, I'm going to title it Seven Characteristics of a Godly Friend. Seven Characteristics of a Godly Friend. My teenagers come up to me all the time, Brother Ricky, I got your six. I got your six. It's Y-O. I got your six. And I'm like, what does that mean? That means I got your back. I got a six shooter on my hip. They can't shoot. But I got your six, Brother Ricky. That means that they've got my back. That means they've got a six shooter on them, and they got my back. In the city, it's very common for young people to use this the slang and say, you know, are you in my six? Are you in my six? And what that means is, are you one of my friends that's going to lower me and bury me when I die? Are you going to be one of my pallbearers? Do you got me? Are you one of my six? Are you in my six? Are you in my six? Meaning, are you going to ride or die? Another phrase that they use. And are you going to ride or die with me? And then when I'm dead, you're going to lower me. You're one of my six. You know, this is a sad statement, but I think sometimes the world appreciates friendship a lot better than Christianity does. I think we're so quick to write Christians off because we don't agree with them or because of their sin or because they're just not quite like us, and yet the world is willing to accept. And maybe the world has taken on this beautiful thing that the Lord Jesus Christ called friendship, and the world has embraced it and we have rejected it. And maybe that is why so much of the world refuses to embrace Christianity. So you can take it any way you want. Seven characteristics of a godly friend, or I got your six. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I got your six, all right? Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who? It's always a who. It's not a what. It's a who. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I do want to just real quickly this morning just give you seven just very simple points on friendship. I'm going to pray here in a second, but I want you to realize something, that your friends for life are probably the ones that you are forming and that you have made and that you have met here while in college. A lot of you have already figured out that your friends from high school are long gone. I mean, it's been a year or two and you've not talked to them. And it's been a year or two and you've not hung out with them. And your friends from high school are no longer. They took a different path, different direction. You came here and now your best friend, maybe your roommate in some case, I doubt it, but maybe your roommate, your bus calling partner. You know, the truth is so much of what you do every day is determined by your friends. Where you sit in chapel today was determined not by the preaching, not by the singing, but it was determined by where your friends sit. Let me tell you why you always sit in the back. I'm not pointing any fingers at anybody in the back, because your friends always sit in the back. And if your friends ever got up to the front, you'd probably move to the front. Let's talk ministry. Why do you work in the ministry you do? It isn't because you have a burden for one area over the other. You had no idea what Chicago was like. But why did you go to a certain area? Because of your friends. Your friends have great influences over you. Why do you get in trouble? Because of your friends. All right? Look, to this day, there's people I avoid. Why? Because I know if I get around certain people, that's it. I'm in trouble. All right? And I'm talking about assistant pastors at our church. We sit in staff meetings sometimes. I know you men would never do this because you are godly college administrators. But we have this assistant pastors meeting today at 1:30. And we'll sit there and we'll just start texting to each other. You know, and I'll just text over to Brother Mark Duff. I love Brother Mark Duff. I always tell him, Mark, you're my favorite white guy. And I'll text to Brother Mark Duff. I'll say, I love you. He'll send me a smiley face back. Then we'll text it over to Brother Eddie. We'll text over to Brother. Now, mind you, there's important business going on. We're discussing big days, and we're discussing, you know, church business. And here we are. I love you. I miss you. You look good today. You know, mind you, we're in our 40s and 50s, and we'll get in trouble. And then I remember in a meeting recently, Pastor went like this to me. I was there, and he went like this. I was like, he's telling me to put my phone away. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. so sorry. Hey, but you know, I mean, somehow you think, Rick Sparks is another one. Brother Rick, just recently you sent me a I love you, one of those little GIF things you sent me. And I showed it to Pastor and I said, look at this man. He's going after a 21-year-old, all right? Yeah, you somehow think that that's only when you're 15, 16, 17. And the truth is, man, friends are friends for life, and you'll share the same memories, and you'll share achievements, and you'll share bad times and low times. And you know what? It'll carry on. So much of what we do is determined by our friendships. The truth is, there's a lot of young people in here today. Your ministry is being limited by your friends. Your potential is being limited by your friends. Your knowledge is being limited by your friends. Your influence is being limited by your friends. Let's go to the Lord and I'll go through these. Father, we do ask that you would meet with us in a special way. Holy Spirit of God, I have prayed and asked that you would somehow, dear Lord, just work and Lord, just get this truth through about the importance of having godly friends. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let me say this, that yes, friends are friends forever, as a poem or a song has written. But let me tell you something. There's going to be a time in your life when you're going to have to cut some friends off. Yeah, I tell my teenagers all the time that concerning friends, there's three things they need to do. Sometimes they need to replace their friends. Sometimes they need to renew a friendship. And sometimes they just totally need to remove themselves from a group of friends. And I'm talking to college young people who've given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, who I will tell you right now that some of you need to renew friendships with godly people. You had them in high school. You had them when you first came here. You had them when you were on fire your first year. Man, you were gung-ho ministry, gung-ho soul winning, gung-ho let's reach the lost. And now you've got a new group of friends, and you need to remove those friends. You need to renew some of the old ones. And some of you have got to take a good look at your six. And you've got to ask yourself, are my six, are the closest guys that I would consider to be my pallbearers and drop me down, are those guys the kind of guys that I would want my children to be like? Do I want my children someday, if I have a daughter, do I want her to, would I want her to date somebody that's very similar to my friends? First of all, I want to say is a friend does not hinder you, a friend helps you. A friend does not hinder you, he helps you. A friend does not build obstacles in the way of you doing the will of God. A friend comes along and puts a step there and says, come on, let me help you. A friend doesn't push you down while you're trying to do something for God. A friend throws out an arm and says, man, latch on, come on, let's go. We're going to do this together. We need a lot more friendships that are here to help and not hurt, and here to help and not hinder. It says, who did, Galatians, you did run well. Who did hinder you? Now, hinder may not be something awful. Hinder may be something like staying up too late the night before a big day. We got a big day coming up this week. I don't know if you're aware of it, but this Sunday is our church big day. It's the bus ministry big day. But there's young people that will be hindered of that because they stay out too late on Friday night because of a friend. Well intentions, maybe let's eat, let's stay out, maybe let's play a game. Good intentions, not going out sinning, you're not going clubbing, you're not going to the bar, but they're hindering you. Did I tell you it's a big day on Sunday? Did I tell you that? Okay, all right, okay. But a friend does not hinder you, a friend helps you. A friend does not put you down, a friend says, let me lift you up. And by the way, let me be honest with you, we do that very seldom in this world, in our lives, we do that very seldom. Very few people are there to help you up. It says, a friend does not hinder you, a friend helps you. Let me ask you a question, who have you helped recently? Who have you helped? I find it sad that in a Christian college, we don't have more prayer groups of people praying for people. We don't have more people trying to meet a need. We don't have more people that are trying to help people. Boy, I remember I was a college student here many, many moons ago, and I was in there in the Malones. It was called Prophets back then. And my dormitory room burned. If you've ever heard of the Hiles Anderson fire, I mean, we've had two of them, and I was in one of them. My dormitory room burned up there on the Malone third floor. It burned. We went away for the weekend. We left a couple of fans on. They short circuited, caught the drapes there and burned the entire room. And I remember during that time, I had four roommates in there. And man, I lived in the city. I was just a poor kid. Man, when I came to college, I was poor. I'm poor now, but I was super poor then. And I remember my college, the roommates there. I lost everything. Everything got burned and smoked out. And I remember my roommates, you know, they had homes and their parents had insurance and my parents didn't. I was already out of the home and no coverage. And man, there I was. I lost everything except for what I had on and took home that weekend. And I remember as different people, different friends came up to me and started buying me suits and started giving me shoes. And man, I'm so glad that fire happened. I mean, my wardrobe got much better after that, man. I remember Brother Hiles called me and he said, son, he said, I'm sorry about the fire. He says, you know, the church took an offering for you. And Brother Hiles gave me a check for $1,500. I was like, woo, man, I'm sorry I burned that room, you know. And I remember feeling really loved by friends that came to my aid and it came to my help. You know what the worst feeling is? When you struggle with something and there's nobody there. When people that you talk to on a regular basis don't even say so much as, let's pray about this. Let me help you. Number two, a friend does not keep secrets. A friend keeps you right. As a youth pastor, I say this all the time in the matter of dating. I think one of the worst things you can ever do is so get emotionally attached with someone and give them a secret of your life. You will forever be attached to that person. We've got some quote-unquote young people that say that are friends, and people come up to you and say, I got a secret, but you can't tell anybody. And the secret is detrimental to that person's spiritual life. Or that secret is something that's going to harm them later on in ministry, or harm them later on in a relationship or in marriage. And you willingly sit there and say, yeah, tell me the secret. I have kids come out to me all the time. I got to tell you this, but you got to promise me you're not going to tell no one. I say, no. As soon as you tell me, I'm blabbing. But a true friend does not keep secrets. A true friend keeps you right. A true friend goes and says, hey, listen, I know what you're doing, and I'm not trying to judge you, but I'm going to tell you, I'm praying for you, and no, I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. No, I'm not going to be quiet about that. No, I'm not going to hide your sin. No, I'm not going to hide the things you're doing. No, I'm not going to cover up. No, I'm not going to lie for you. I made a very, very tragic mistake early on in ministry. I was in my late 20s. One of my graduates came to me, and he told me had only been married about a year or two. And he came to me in my office, and I thought I was, Mr. Big Dude, and had the nice office and up on the fourth floor, and I'm on staff, and let my pride get a hold of me. And this young man came to me and he said, I got to tell you something, Brother Torres. He said, I had an affair on my wife. And I said, how are you doing now? He said, oh, now everything's good, and we're doing fine. And I said, okay. And I didn't say anything about it. I kept shut. A couple of years later, that couple wound up divorcing. The pastor called me in and said, hey, I got this affidavit about this couple that's divorced. They said you counseled with them. And I said, I did. I had two or three meetings with him. And they said, you knew that he had had an affair. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you didn't tell me, and you didn't tell her, you didn't tell anybody. I said, no, sir, I didn't. I ruined a marriage because I kept a secret. And you don't know, this may have been 20 years ago, and the wounds are as fresh as they were yesterday. And I made a promise to God, I am not going to keep your secrets. There's a lot of young people in here, you can relate, except that you know those secrets recently, and you're going to keep them. And in 10 years, and 15 years, and 20 years, and 30 years, that is going to well back up in you, and you're going to feel what I'm feeling right now. A friend does not keep secrets. A friend keeps you right. Next, a friend will hurt you with the truth before you hurt yourself with sin. A friend will hurt you with the truth before you hurt yourself with sin. I wonder when was the last time you pleaded with somebody, would you please turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. I'm afraid that sometimes what we do is we take the iron and we beat people over the head with it. Instead of helping them, we beat them over the head with it. And a friend will hurt you with the truth before you hurt yourself with sin. The kisses of an enemy, young people, those are always pleasant. The kisses of an enemy. Boy, but listen, I'd rather be wounded by a friend and turn out right than be excused by a friend and be told I'm good and everything's going to be fine, then late years later, suffer the consequence. I remember I talked to a pastor a couple of years ago, and he went to our schools here, and in the schools he got in with the wrong crowd, and there was three boys, and the other two boys went on their path. This young man got right with the Lord. He is now a pastor. And The other two young men, one is in prison down in North Carolina, and the other one died of an overdose. And that pastor tells me, he says, it's a haunting thing to me that I knew better. I knew more truth. I knew how to live right. And I never warned those guys. One's in the grave and one's in prison, and he's pastoring. But a friend will hurt you with the truth before you hurt yourself with sin. Next. A friend loves your God. A friend loves your God. A friend is in tune with you. And when you say, hey, we're having a big day on Sunday, the friend says, we're having a big day on Sunday. And when a friend says, hey, man, God answered my prayer, the friend says, amen. I'm so glad to hear that. But a friend loves your God. A friend doesn't act weird when he hears you say things like amen and God is good and praise the Lord. A friend doesn't act weird when he walks in the room and you're on your face praying and man, he gets down and prays with you. He's not weird when he sees you reading the Bible. He says, hey man, share with me. What are you reading? What man, Brother Abdel and I share offices there in the church, and we're always constantly back at each other's offices. What are you reading? I'm reading 1 Samuel. What are you reading, man? I'm reading Joshua. What are you teaching in the Old Testament? I'm teaching this. What are you? And man, just back and forth encouraging each other. But a friend loves your God. Hey, if you've got groups of friends in a Christian school and you've not prayed in a Christian college and you've not prayed, hey, get your friends praying or get new friends. But a friend loves your God. He's excited. He's all gung-ho. Hey, we're on Team Jesus. But he loves your God. A friend is headed in the direction that you are headed. A friend is headed in the direction you are headed. You know, you're going to marry somebody in here. Most likely. Hey, your groomsmen are probably going to be the guys you are working in ministry with right now. A lot of you guys are going to be the next generation. You're going to be preaching for each other. I remember sitting in church ed right around here, and it was Torres, Teft, Tar, Tapman, Testerman. All those guys are in ministry. We sat back there. I would listen, pay attention, love the word of God. They were talking and messing around and so on. Chris Teft would say, hey, Torres, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to work for Jack Hiles. He said, you're crazy. I'm going to work for him first. He did. He said, you'll never work for Hiles. And we look over. Hey, Brother Tar, what are you going to do? I'm going to be a youth pastor. Man, he went out to become a youth pastor. Now he's pastoring. And Brother Tapman, what are you going to do? I don't know, man, whatever. If you, whatever the Lord tells me, you know, that's what I'm going to do. And man, just sitting there in that T section, and now they're all in ministry. But a friend is headed in the direction that you are headed. If your friend is constantly getting you to go on a detour, you either need to take a different path or you need to get new friends. Last one. A friend values your life. They do not cheapen your life. A friend values your life. Hey, young men, you know why I stay in the bus ministry, I stay in college in here? Because I really value your potential. I really value what you can be in the future. You see, because I'm kind of on the slippery slope of going down and, you know, my youth is kind of fading, but I've had the days that I want you to have. I've had the days of preaching conferences and preaching camps, and I've had the days of, you know, leading singing, and I've had the days of traveling. I've had those days, and they've been good. I want you to have the same days. You know why? Because I want to value your life. I want to value your potential. I don't want to take things away from you. I want you to have more. I believe in you. I believe in the churches that you're going to build. I believe in the youth groups that you're going to have. I believe in the mission field that you're going to reach. I value your life. Let me say this. Do your friends value your life or do they cheapen it? Man, I'm interested in everybody's potential in here. Why? Because I want to breathe life into you. Because you know what? If I breathe life into you, when I'm gone, my breath continues. Some of you guys, instead of breathing life into your friends, you're breathing death. And when they're gone, guess what? You're both dead. Would you bow your head and close your eyes?